All right, ready to dive deep.
Always.
Today, we're tackling a passage that I think is one of the most mind-blowing in all of Scripture.
Yeah, it's a big one.
The opening chapter of the Gospel of John.
In the beginning was the Word.
Every time I read those words, I feel like I'm stepping into some kind of cosmic mystery.
It definitely has that effect.
But what does it actually mean? The Word became flesh.
Well, it's not just some poetic flourish. It's the foundation of John's whole gospel, his account of Jesus' life.
And John was there for all of it.
Oh, yeah, one of Jesus' closest disciples.
So he's writing from a place of firsthand experience.
Absolutely. He saw it all unfold.
So let's break it down, starting with that incredible opening line. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
I mean, that's about as bold as you can get, right?
It's like something out of Star Wars.
It really does have that epic universe-creating vibe, and that's intentional.
What do you mean?
Well, John is tapping into this concept called logos, which was a huge deal in Greek philosophy back then.
Okay, so break that down for me. What is logos?
Think of it like this. Imagine the universe is this insanely complex machine, right? Like a computer program with billions of lines of code.
Yeah, I can see that.
Logos would be like the source code, the underlying logic that makes the whole thing run.
So kind of like the blueprint for the universe.
Exactly. And John is saying that Jesus is the logos, the blueprint, the logic, the Word made flesh.
Okay, so not just words on a page, but like the very essence of creation.
You got it. It's a mind-blowing statement about Jesus' identity.
It's definitely making my head spin a little.
And then there's that line, in the beginning was the Word, right?
Emphasizing that he existed before anything else.
Before time, before the universe, before everything.
Wow. Okay, and then he goes on to talk about light and darkness.
Yeah.
In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
One of the most powerful images in the whole Bible.
What's the significance of this light and darkness imagery? It pops up a lot in John's gospel.
Well, for John, light represents truth, knowledge, and ultimately salvation.
Okay, I'm following.
It's like he's saying the world is trapped in this spiritual darkness, and Jesus comes in like a blazing beacon, illuminating everything.
Bringing clarity and hope.
Exactly. And even though there's opposition, it's like the darkness is trying to snuff out the light, it never goes out. It always persists.
So it's like this cosmic battle between good and evil.
Kind of, yeah. But with a clear message, the light ultimately wins.
Powerful stuff.
Yeah.
So we've got this cosmic Word who becomes flesh. We've got this epic battle between light and darkness.
Setting the stage for everything that follows.
And then we're introduced to John the Baptist.
The guy out there in the wilderness preparing the way.
Right. The wild-haired, locust-eating prophet. But here's what I find so fascinating. John is super clear that he's not the Messiah.
He's adamant about it.
He even denies being Elijah or the prophet, figures people were expecting to show up.
Why do you think he's so insistent on making that distinction?
Because he knows his role.
Exactly. He's not the main event, just the opening act.
He's there to point everyone to Jesus.
And he's incredibly humble about it, too. Remember that line about Jesus? The strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie.
Talk about humility. He's basically saying, I'm not even fit to be Jesus' shoe shiner.
Which emphasizes the vast difference between them.
John gets that Jesus is on a whole other level.
Right. He's not just another prophet or teacher.
And even John's baptism with water is just a symbol.
It's foreshadowing the real deal. Baptism with the Holy Spirit that Jesus will bring.
Okay, then we get to this line that always gives me chills. Behold, the Lamb of God.
Wow, yeah.
Talk about a loaded image, especially for a Jewish audience.
So much symbolism packed into those few words.
Break it down for us. What's John trying to convey here?
Think about the Passover, the story of the Israelites escaping slavery in Egypt.
Okay, I see where you're going with this.
They sacrificed a lamb and smeared its blood on their doorways to protect their families from death.
And John's connecting Jesus to that image of sacrifice.
Exactly. He's presenting Jesus as the ultimate sacrificial lamb.
But what does that actually mean?
John goes on to say that Jesus, as the Lamb of God, takes away the sin of the world.
So Jesus' sacrifice is somehow bridging the gap between humanity and God.
It's the ultimate act of atonement.
And remember that whole light versus darkness theme?
It all ties together.
This is how the light ultimately wins through the sacrifice of the Lamb.
Exactly. John is laying out the core message of his gospel right here in the first chapter.
Okay, my mind is officially blown. So we've got this cosmic Word who becomes a human being. He's the light of the world, and he's a sacrificial lamb. John is not holding back.
Nope. He wants to make sure we understand from the get-go who Jesus is and what he came to do.
Because everything that follows, the whole story of Jesus' life, flows from this core identity.
That's the foundation.
I am hooked. So where do we go from here?
Well, now that John has set the stage, it's time to meet the first people who encounter Jesus.
And what are their reactions like?
Let's just say, pretty interesting. So we're in verses 35 to 42.
Okay.
And Jesus is just, you know, walking around when he runs into some of John the Baptist's followers.
Okay.
And he asks them this question, what are you seeking?
It's so simple, but so profound.
Right.
Like, you'd expect some big theological lecture, but Jesus just goes straight to the heart of it.
Yeah, what do you want? What are you looking for?
It's a question we're all asking in some way, isn't it?
We're all searching for something.
Meaning, purpose, happiness.
Connection.
And Jesus just steps into that search and says, come and see.
Yeah, no pressure.
Just come and see for yourself.
And then there's this really cool detail about one of the disciples.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about that. Simon. Jesus gives him a new name. Peter.
Keter.
Rock.
Oh, wow.
It's like this little glimpse into the future.
I love those little hints that John drops.
Like foreshadowing.
Exactly. It's like, hey, pay attention to this guy, Peter. He's going to be important. Yeah, and it shows how following Jesus can completely transform you.
Like, sometimes it even means a new name.
Literally a new identity.
Okay, and speaking of transformation, let's talk about Nathaniel.
Okay, yeah, Nathaniel.
He comes in with a healthy dose of skepticism.
Can anything good come out of Nazareth?
I mean, I get it.
We've all had those moments.
Where we're just like, really? This is it?
But what's so interesting is that Jesus doesn't dismiss Nathaniel's doubt.
No, he doesn't shut him down.
He meets him where he's at.
I feel like that's such a key theme in John's gospel.
Oh, absolutely.
It's not about having all the answers or pretending to have it all figured out.
It's about being honest about our doubts and questions.
And being open to the possibility that we might be wrong.
And that's what happens with Nathaniel, right?
Yeah, Jesus reveals this deep knowledge of him.
Tells him he saw him under a fig tree.
Before they even met.
And that's all it takes for Nathaniel to go from skeptic to believer.
He's like, okay, you got me. You're the real deal.
Rabbi, you are the Son of God.
You are the King of Israel. Talk about a complete 180.
I love that it's his doubt that actually leads him to a deeper faith.
It's like that saying, sometimes you have to lose your way to find yourself.
I love that.
So we've covered a lot of ground here. We've got this cosmic word who becomes flesh, this battle between light and darkness, a sacrificial lamb, and then these incredible personal encounters with Jesus.
Just a lot to unpack.
And it all circles back to that question Jesus asked, what are you seeking?
Right. It's an invitation to really examine our own hearts.
To be honest about what we're truly longing for.
And the message is that Jesus is the answer.
He can fulfill those deep longings that we all carry.
That's the beauty of it.
So as we wrap up this part of our deep dive, what's one final thought you'd leave our listeners with?
Let me think.
You know, as we've been talking about all this, it's really striking me how personal this whole word becoming flesh thing is.
Yeah.
It's not just some, you know, abstract idea out there.
Right.
It's about Jesus, a real person, walking around and interacting with people.
One-on-one.
Yeah, like on a really personal level.
And each interaction is so unique.
It is.
Like tailor-made for that person.
Exactly.
He meets them where they are, you know?
Wherever they are, doubts, skepticism.
Just searching for something.
Yeah, just longing for more.
Like with Nathaniel.
Oh, yeah, Nathaniel.
Jesus knew him inside and out.
Under the fig tree.
Even before they met.
Knew him completely.
It's like he's saying, I see you.
Mm-hmm. I know you.
I know your heart.
And isn't that what we all want?
Deep down.
Yeah, to be known.
Being seen.
To be really understood.
About someone.
For who we are.
Yeah, it makes me think about that question Jesus asked.
What are you seeking?
It's like he's inviting us to get real with ourselves.
We stay honest.
About those deep desires.
Yeah, those longings.
That we all have.
And to know that he can fulfill them.
Yeah, he's the answer
to
those questions.
Yeah, even the ones we can't quite articulate yet.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into John.
What's one last thought you want to leave our listeners with?
Don't let this whole idea of the word becoming flesh just be some, you know, event in the past.
Yeah.
Let it sink in.
Really let it sink in.
What does it mean for you today?
Right now.
That the creator of the universe chose to walk among us.
To experience life.
As one of us.
To become one of us.
Yeah. How does that change how you see yourself?
The world around you.
Your place in it all.
That's a powerful question.
It is.
And one that I think will be wrestling with
for sure
for a long time.
Yeah, maybe our whole lives.
Well, thank you for taking us on this journey.
Of course, it's always a pleasure.
Into the Gospel of John.
Yeah, one of my favorites.
Until next time, keep seeking.
Keep seeking.
Keep exploring and keep diving deep.
Absolutely.